This was not an interview question when I came here, but I will admit this. I've never seen an angel. So I don't know if that's a prerequisite for being a pastor, but I've never seen one. But I can imagine, because I've been scared at other times in my life, what I might feel like if I ran into one unexpectedly. In fact, the kind of surprise or that scare that you have, it is this moment that psychologists say it hits the pause button in your brain. Sometimes they talk about surprise as being an emotion, but actually it's the absence of the emotion, the surprise moment is, because your brain does not know what's happening around it. And so it's completely blank and you don't know what's going to come next, because whatever you were doing before you were surprised, you've forgotten, and you haven't decided what you're going to do now that you've been surprised. So imagine if you came into the church this morning and it was empty and there was a bear in here, you would have been surprised. And for a moment, you would have not known what to do. But then you would have made a decision, I should leave right now. And then you would leave. And once you left, then you would go and you would tell everybody, don't go to St. Luke's, there's a bear in there this morning. This is what we call pause, find, or investigate, and then act, and then tell. This is what happens when we get surprised. We do these four things. And this story this morning is a story about two ladies and a whole bunch of soldiers being surprised. They go to the tomb, and then if you've not read it this way before, it's very it's subtle, but it's in there. The angel doesn't just appear to these two ladies in Matthew. The angel causes an earthquake and shows up, and there are soldiers there, and there are the two Marys there. And in that moment, there is this stacking up, this leveling of surprise for these women. First, of course, there's an earthquake, which would make you stop. And my guess is they didn't have a moment to decide whether to run or whether to duck for cover, because the next thing that happens while their brain is paused is that an angel shows up. And then in the midst of that, these soldiers fall down. And then in the midst of that, the angel tells them that Jesus is not there. And then he says, come and see. Stacking up pause upon pause upon pause, completely discombobulating them. And they are in that moment surprised. And it is a graceful act, I think, of this angel that he doesn't make them think what they have to do next. He just tells them. He says, let me help you out here. You've had a lot of surprise in this moment. I want you to go and tell the disciples that Jesus is raised, he's not here, you've seen it with your own eyes, and now tell them that Jesus will meet them in Galilee. And if that was not enough surprise, on their way out, they run into Jesus, who surprises them and has to reorient them again after discombobulating them. And then as we have this area, the airport in Milwaukee, the recombobulation area, Jesus recombobulates them and sends them out with a message of Galilee. And they are afraid, but they're also joyful. They've paused, they've investigated, they have acted, and now they have a story to go and tell the disciples. But there is another side to the story, and that is, not everybody is surprised by the resurrection. In fact, the last thing we heard as we read the Passion story from Matthew last Sunday is that the authorities in Jerusalem have already plotted, because they are afraid that Jesus will raise from the dead, because they're motivated to have heard that from him in his teaching. They know that if Jesus does make good on his promise to raise from the dead, their jobs and their authority and their power are in jeopardy. And we heard last week how those soldiers got there this morning who were at the tomb when the lady showed up. It's because they were being paid to guard it. And my guess is if somebody comes out of that tomb, they are going to wipe it out and put it back in there, because that's what soldiers do. And the authorities, they are not going to be surprised by this. They have planned for it because they are motivated by fear of losing power, because resurrection is the one surprise that their orderliness cannot take. And they're willing to employ soldiers and any cost to make sure that that surprise does not get out into the world. We are resurrection people, which means that we have a message of surprise for the world. But it's not just a message of surprise. It is our greatest strength, and it is the thing that makes us undefeatable. Because the authorities in that day are not unlike the authorities in our day, in our own community, sometimes in our religious community, in the world around us, in all kinds of halls of power around the world. They know that there is one thing that will take them down, and that is the surprise of resurrection. Because the surprise of resurrection is not mainly found in the fact that a dead person rose out of the grave. That's impossible, and it is surprising. But it is more surprising that a powerful person whose son was tortured and beaten and hung on a cross responds in such a quiet and unassuming way. That God meets the violence of the world by bringing his son back to love the world instead of destroy it. I mean, can you think of another person in power in any story you know in all of history that meets that just even the insult of their child by not going in and just cleaning house? And you might say, well, that's expected. That's what Jesus said he was going to do. But nobody expects it. The women didn't expect it that day. If they'd expected it that day, they'd have showed up with snacks for Jesus and not something to embalm him in. But the people that are afraid that their power will be taken from them, they expect it. And they are going to stop it. Because they know that if the violence of the world is met with the love of God, they cannot overcome it. They will be out of business. And they will be out of power. And that is exactly what God does. He does not enact the parent venge genre of Hollywood, where a child has been taken and someone goes out and makes good on it and makes the people pay who have inflicted the pain. God responds to their violence by sending back Jesus. And when they holler on Good Friday, he saved others, he can't save himself. He hollers back on Easter Sunday morning. He is not here, he is risen. And when he is offered sour wine on the cross, Jesus comes back, he says, you know how I'm going to respond to that? I'm going to cook fish for you on the shore. This is the thing that the powers and authorities, as Paul calls it, the principalities, in high places, they cannot overcome it. If we are to be a surprise people, this is the surprise we need to unleash on the world. The surprise of meeting violence with compassion. The surprise of meeting discord with unity. The surprise of meeting abuse with healing. The surprise of meeting death with love. If we can do those things, people will be scared of us. They should be scared of us. Because if you can rise from the grave, you are undefeatable. And the surprise of the resurrection is the way that we will sanctify the world where we live. And those folks who would rather not be surprised, who will fear and act against the surprise of resurrection, who would rather be in charge of the world instead of be changed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they will fear us. Amen.